This is NIDS AFL Unpopular Opinions with Alistair Lynch, Tom Rockliffe and Dylan Lynch.
Welcome to another edition of NIDS AFL Unpopular Opinions. It is round 15 of the AFL. My name's Dylan Leach. I'm joined by the push-up king himself, Tom Rockliffe.
Good afternoon, Dylan. Depending when you're listening.
Well, we're recording this Monday afternoon record this week, a timestamp, but released Tuesday morning. Have you surpassed Jake King as the push-up king?
Yes, many weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And are you back to plain white?
No, not quite.
Nearly.
Yeah, nearly. I think I might have to have another little solid kick to get another cut off.
Oh, very good. Maybe get a game of footy into you. Have you thought about that as well? Just really,
I could walk into a couple of AFL teams and get a kick, I reckon.
Oh, there you go.
There's a cliff.
There's a big statement there. A man who was invited to Port Adelaide's 20-year reunion this week but said, no thanks, I've got something on. Alistair Lynch.
I was invited to one of their functions last year.
I remember you mentioned
but
that.
But yeah, I genuinely wasn't able to get there. But yeah, good to be back. Good to be back. Another fascinating weekend of footy.
All right, let's just have this out now because I didn't start with the usual spiel because I think we need to go into this. North Melbourne was robbed. The umpires cost North Melbourne a win. The umpires are getting out of control. Let's just have it out. Let's get it out of our system. What's going on? What's the deal here?
They're all over the shop. And I don't blame them. I blame the rules committee, Laura Kane. They have changed the rules. And I think she did an interview on the weekend and said, no, we're not into changing rules on the fly, but we'll change interpretations. Well, it's confusing as all hell for everyone now, for broadcasters, for players, for fans, for everyone. There's no doubt that if that was ruled properly yesterday, that was a 50-metre penalty and they're having a shot from 15 metres out. Doesn't mean that North Melbourne kicked the goal. I think it was Scott. Goes back. But we've seen one a couple of weeks ago on the Gold Coast where the player actually played on. I think it was the Essendon game.
Yes, it was.
And he got a 50-metre penalty because Ballard tackled him or brushed him and just held him up and it was a 50-metre penalty. Yesterday, they had two players run 5-10 metres over the mark and then they tried to call them back. It's a 50-metre penalty every day of the week. Incredible scenes there. Collingwood got away with one. North Melbourne would be flat. They shouldn't have given up a 57-point lead or whatever they gave up and let Collingwood back into the game, but they were robbed. But it goes to a deeper issue for me. You can't be changing rules on the fly. And they're even talking about changing the father-son draft and point system for this year's draft. Clubs plan a long time out, particularly the way it is with system. So the whole recruiting and kids they're watching is going to have to alter with 7-8 weeks to go before the season's over. It's ridiculous.
I agree. The decision was a terrible decision. It was a 50-metre every day of the week. I think they're going to come out and clarify their views this afternoon.
We'll go around our podcast. We'll go a bit old school. We'll go around the ground podcast. So it's Monday, 3:30 p.m. that we're recording this week's edition.
So I don't get hung up on that decision as much because there was numerous other decisions throughout the day would have impacted the result as well. But yes, absolutely. I think it's so tough for umpires at the best of times. There's so much grey. Now we're not sure where the grey is because the grey moves a fair bit. So that's where it's really tough. I suppose whilst we're on the unpopular opinions, where you're going with Laura and the umpires, I think North Melbourne got more out of this than Collingwood. I wouldn't be going down the path of being shattered as a North Melbourne supporter and in particular as a North Melbourne player. And I would think an experienced great coach like Clarko would address this like Sam Mitchell did a few weeks ago when they had that big loss or the loss come from behind loss to Port Adelaide. I reckon he'd address it, have some learnings out of the review. He'd accept some responsibility for himself as an experienced coach and then have a look at a bit of vision, but then actually go through the vision that you pushed the premiers, last year's premiers, you were leading them by 54 points. And I'd take that spin, absolutely say we're going to learn from this, but we were 54 points up against the reigning premiers. And I reckon when we talk about it, and I'd use this a lot, as a supporter, as a player, you want hope. I reckon out of that game, North Melbourne should get a shitload of hope that they're on the right track. But we've seen against West Coast the week before and you think, oh, well, was only West Coast with respect to West Coast at the moment, but you've pushed all the way the bloody around the grounds.
Let's go around the grounds.
Al Martello.
Yeah, let's go to Al Martello at Prince's Park. No, Tom Rockliffe to the left of me in studio. As we say, we are recording this at 3:35 p.m. on a Monday. So this is very Sandra Sully with the late news because with the Tuesday morning release. But Tom, this is a live reaction.
Headline reads, AFL concedes umpire error but ticks off 50-metre penalty.
There it is.
The AFL says umpires were right to not award a 50-metre penalty to North Melbourne late in the loss to Collingwood but has conceded the official erred by not calling play on or directing the Magpies players to stand the mark. So I'm more confused with that explanation.
Oh, goodness.
So they're blaming the umpire for not calling play on as
play
soon as...
in or stand.
Yeah, okay. It was a 50-metre penalty.
They're blowing the whistle for a mark, so...
Yeah, but I think he's either got to go stand or play on when Scott come off the line. It was a 50-metre penalty,
though. No doubt, as I say, our listeners will be listening to this on a Tuesday, but they would have digested the Monday shows.
Oh, the Monday shows
will... they will get right stuck into it.
This.
So I can assume that if I were to predict the future and get the crystal ball out, Robbo's going to do some serious arm waving on 360 tonight about it.
I think he will.
I think Brownie's going to get right stuck in on the couch and classified. It is going to be hot take after hot take after hot take, and that will probably take up the first 15 minutes of that program.
That
so
will.
We're already recapping last night's show this afternoon before they were going.
So when North are again reviewing, they can blame that as well. But I think they should come out with more confidence than they went in.
Absolutely. And, I mean, North Melbourne fans were applauding them at half time, and the general consensus from the Kangaroos faithful was that's the best they've seen them play in over a decade.
Yeah.
First half. It was sensational.
Yeah, so I think they should review it well. And who they got?
Melbourne at the
this
MCG.
Week.
They're $5.
Which is winnable.
So you come out of that meeting.
$5.75 when I checked the markers.
You have to come out of that meeting feeling good about yourself as a player. You've learned a few things, but you should be ramping up. We've got an opportunity this week. MCG, is it? Did you
MCG,
say?
MCG, yes.
To go to the MCG against Melbourne, who have struggled of late, and tee this one up.
And also North Melbourne owes their Melbourne-based fans who have stuck through with them the past few years a win because their last three wins have been outside Victoria. So they've had rare wins, but they haven't actually won them in Victoria. So they actually owe...
So it's been a couple of years.
Yeah, they legitimately owe their supporters in Melbourne who fly the flag for North and cop it and turn up week in, week out. They owe them a win.
How good were some of their kids?
Yeah, they played well. It was
great.
Yeah.
To put eight on in the first quarter is outstanding. You're playing good footy.
And another thing too, because it'll be highlighted when it happens, the Rising Star Award, obviously because Reed and Darcy are out. It was a good reminder that, hang on, George Wardlaw and co. are actually worthy, could be a worthy winner of it as well, just because they're in a ridiculous field. They're still worthy winners. There's nothing default about him winning potentially.
Wardlaw's 30 and a goal.
Yeah.
It was incredible the way he goes about it. You'd love to support him. I mean, as even a neutral, you support him.
The Rising Star market, the kid that does not get spoken about, plays up here for the Lions at $15. We are a punting podcast.
You blokes at that end of the table,
yeah,
might
sorry,
add.
Yeah, but Kai Loman.
He's been outstanding.
He has to be a chance to win it, doesn't he?
Ooh. Yeah. I'll go ones in front of him. Or maybe as Darcy Wilmot.
I don't think he's eligible.
Oh, maybe he played too much last year.
Loman,
yeah, okay.
In recent weeks,
he's
has been
a bag of five or six.
Yeah.
And he bobs up. He's an energizer bunny.
He adds life, doesn't he?
He's been.
He celebrates. But you've got to love it.
Something about the Brisbane Lions jumper, blonde hair, and the number one is.
Oh, Champo.
Yeah, exactly. And he's actually been a reliable bet because I've had the pleasure of doing the Ned's tips on the blog the past couple of weeks, and each of those I've put Kai Loman for 2+ goals.
He's
gotten up. He's
probably been their best small forward because Charlie's dropped right off. Another topic, but anyway.
And if we're talking betting and something also close to your heart, it'd be a good one to put in your Supercoach right now at pretty good value.
Bob's up.
And you would know about Supercoach value, your lock and forget, Rockcliffe.
Played all my games for Supercoach points.
That's it. You were the Supercoach's player. That's what you did. You were the people's man.
That's right.
You gave it a fantasy. No, I like that.
Did you actually check your Supercoach points to see how you went? Nah, come on. Yeah, occasionally.
Well, no.
You check AFL Dream Team.
It was more them because they were on the app, I suppose. You're looking at just to see.
Okay.
Not points.
Not points.
Got accused of it.
Did you do better in AFL Fantasy or Supercoach? The two.
Probably. I don't know. Probably Fantasy.
Fair enough.
I'm not sure.
We'll go on. Lynchy, let's say yes. North. So the general consensus, North robbed.
North were robbed, yep.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. No,
absolutely, but...
And we're all
who
sick.
Cares?
And quite frankly, we're sick of Collingwood making comebacks. We've had enough.
Yeah,
but Collingwood have some real concerns.
It's so 2022. Like enough.
Collingwood got some concerns, no doubt.
Yeah,
that they're trailing by 9 goals against the bottom team in the comp.
I think but they did.
Not
they
the bottom team either. It's probably the worst team we've seen in 20 years.
Did Collingwood just go in there? Did Collingwood go into the game on Sunday with a bit of arrogance, saying, "Oh, it's just North Melbourne. We'll just take it easy."
Well, it just reinforces the gap between the top team and the bottom team. Mm. If you're off a little bit, the bottom team can still get you.
Mm.
And when you got these young kids need a little bit of confidence. That confidence grew.
Mm.
I think this is a really interesting game. Already, we go into the last segment. Yeah. I'm looking forward to North Melbourne at the MCG this week.
Okay, we'll get back to that at the end of the show. I must say, though, it is great at this time of the year when those 1 o'clock Sunday games just turn out to be an absolute delight.
Yeah.
You go in and watch these afternoon games thinking,
expectations.
With zero expectations, and you get something like that. I reckon that is arguably the game of the year, or at least, maybe not the game of the year, but definitely the most entertaining game.
And we've seen a few of those.
Yeah.
So with North just getting up the last couple of weeks, but Hawthorn, their rise.
Oh, doing very well.
St Kilda Friday night. St Kilda,
great game.
Brisbane Friday night. You thought... They're going to lock this down. Yeah. Brisbane have gone in with a clear tactics. We're just going to take this on and try to score in a shootout. St Kilda can't go with us. Well, they were probably right, but it was very close. There was not a lot of defence in that game in the second half.
Who needs defence?
Yeah, it was a 50-metre penalty. The umpire ruined the game.
Umpires.
Well, they had all the momentum, didn't they?
We need them. Yeah. 50. We need them in the game. It's the interpretations. It's what they're telling the umpires to do that's ruining the game, not the umpires. The umpires, respect.
Umpires, yeah.
So another bonus game that was.
Actually, while we're on umpires, I've got to...
Oh, hang on. Here we go.
Friday night, I wasn't aware...
What have I done?
No, I wasn't aware that... Goal umpires have a whistle in their pocket.
Do they?
So no idea. Did
paid
they?
A free kick. So the goal umpire...
No, he did not.
Paid a free kick.
Did not.
He did. The goal umpire paid a free kick in the middle. Brisbane got a free kick, went forward, kicked a goal because the St Kilda player wasn't in the goal square for the 6-6-6 bounce.
Marshall was trying to get away from... get to Harris Andrews and they were swapping and he stepped out.
Stepped out. The goal umpire...
blew his whistle.
A whistle out of his pocket and blew it.
Never heard of it.
I didn't see that.
Just so footage of it.
Is there?
Footage.
I've never heard
that's
of it.
That's all we watched
whistle.
For the first quarter because that goal umpire was 15 metres out, calling players back the whole time.
Yeah.
He thought he was out on the ground. He thought he was a field umpire.
Have we gone beyond the 666 warning? We're actually paying stuff.
Well, no, so this
we've
is
had
the
warnings
thing.
For 4 years for 666.
But this is in the square because there was two over the weekend.
So it's 666, but it was like the old rule of if a winger broke and got in the centre square first, it's like that apparently for the goal. But it's, again, another one that's a grey area.
So I reckon there was one at GWS as well where I was thinking the same thing. Hang on, where's the warning gone? But, it's the goal square issue. But, yes, Marshall was trying to get to Harris Andrews and they were mucking around and he stepped out early and free kick.
This goal umpire has seen one opportunity to blow a whistle in his
good
career.
Good on him.
And he's
blown the
out.
Whistle.
I didn't know that.
That goal umpire will never forget that moment as well.
I would think 99% of football followers had no idea.
Was still confused. And the free kick, I was still confused at because I thought it was just 6-6-6. You at least get one warning.
That's what I thought.
You're going to need to send us this vision. I'm going to need to look that up.
Yeah, we'll find that.
We'll find it.
After the show.
Lynchy, do you have an unpopular take from the weekend?
Well, I did, but I'll change. Well, I did. That was the North Melbourne one.
Yeah.
But how about this one, Rocky? You'd be, I don't know whether this is a waste of time. This will be unpopular with the rest of the country.
No, go for it.
Is it about time that Queensland had a resident on the All Australian panel?
Yes.
Well, it is all Australian, isn't it?
And not to question the guys that are on it and the girls that are on it. First class, it was great insight on Fox Footy the other night, just seeing what happens inside. Not doubting that for one second. But the fact is, naturally, Glenn Jakovic sees more of West Coast and more of Fremantle. Now, he gave opinion on other clubs. Again, he's a smart football, great football person, but he's invested and sees day in, day out, not just week in, week out, day in, day out, these two mm-hmm. Western Australian teams. Same with Pav, same with Cornsey, who does a lot of football,
yep.
but sees a lot and focuses more on South Australian clubs. Jude Bolton, again, yep. same sort of thing up in Sydney. There is never, I can't recall ever, a resident being on the All Australian Committee
of the Sunshine State
from Queensland. And I just think there's a glaring omission. And I think I'd have Simon Black in there. Not,
sure.
not to say someone else has to come out, but I'd have Simon Black in there or Rocky.
But what you? You should. You
well, I can't. I can't be on on Tassie board. But I think there should be someone that's invested.
Have 15 jobs.
Just to fly the flag for your state. You're watching all the games, so you need mm-hmm. someone that's watching a lot of footy, and everyone is, and everyone's got really good, strong opinions. But you just need, I feel, at least once, have someone from Queensland.
I mean, Queensland does have two AFL clubs and is. Particularly the southeast region is one of the highest developing areas of the game in general.
It has to be. They have to add someone because there is a theory that South Australian and Western Australian players have extra All Australians because they always had a selector there. And if you're a selector in those states, then you're going to push for those players to be in.
Even if subconsciously you're invested in them, you see more of them. It might hurt with some of your perceptions on some players because you see the worst of them as well. But I think you are invested in those clubs. So that's a natural thing, and I think Queensland should have someone on.
I would go on the record and say that there's two great centre-half forwards. One of them played in Perth. Both you work with both of them. He would have 8 or 9 All-Australians.
7, I think, yeah.
I would take a Queensland centre-half forward over his career, and he only had 2 or 3 All-Australians.
2 All-Australians, Jonathan Brown.
I would have Jonathan Brown every day of the week before Pav. In my opinion, that's me, and that's probably biased because I played with Brownie and know him.
But yeah.
When you've got someone in there that's watching all the time, they're going to promote. If Pav's had a half decent year, they're going to pump him up to go to centre half forward, aren't they?
Yeah.
Where if Queensland, there's no one fighting that fight.
Pav could play and did get selected in about 8 positions as well.
Saying.
But no, and that's the whole thing. It's not that one person has a bias. But if you're seeing someone day in, day out, you're going to have a leaning that way. And just it's all to balance the conversation.
Do we need to have a quota of selectors in the All-Australian team? Because maybe it actually needs to be instituted. It's like, okay, we actually need a representative from
Queensland. They're doing that.
They're doing it. Well, let's make it official, though.
They're doing it.
Well, why don't we make it official?
Coverage from West Australia, South Australia, Victoria and New South Wales.
Yep.
No one from Queensland. I'm not saying you don't have anyone from Tassie because we haven't got a team. In time, you will have someone from Tassie as well.
That's true because you see, so say a Perth selector and Jakovic, I think it's Jakovic. He's there.
And Perth.
And so he sees West Coast 11 times, give or take.
Yeah.
Frio, same. And then he sees all the other teams maybe once if he sees them all.
Yeah.
So you're always going
to
think that the Frio players or the West Coast players have had a better year just because he's seen them more and seen them consistently and sees things that we don't see over here, but we're going to see things in Queensland that they don't see as well.
Well, as you brought up earlier with how well Kai Lohman's going.
Well, Lohman, but there's guys that you would say, like, for me, Jared Witts has been one of the best ruckmen in the competition,
absolutely.
But he's never, ever got the all-show. But his hit-outs to advantage are better than anyone's in the competition.
Mm.
So I agree with Lynch. That's not unpopular with me.
Well, that's nice.
It's unpopular with the AFL.
Well, it would be unpopular with a lot of football people saying, well, don't be ridiculous because you've got professionals on there that watch all the games. Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. But you are invested where you're based.
Okay. So we need to make it like the Senate, an equal representation from each state.
No, we don't need any more politics chat on this.
I'm just talking about the setup. I'm not talking about the...
But there is people...
Including Leachies, that has 12 senators because it's proper representation.
Reflex goes back to the Teals.
I haven't brought up any Teals. I'm just saying I'm just talking about the selection of the committee.
Yes.
It's a precedent.
Yes, I just think it's worth considering.
Okay.
Great, cool.
I don't hate it. Now, mine is a very consistent opinion I've had since basically the Greg Davis era
of
this program.
Yeah.
Coaches hate football. Coaches despise football. And I'm talking about John Longmire. John Longmire hates football. And you know why? Because he dragged Joel Amati after kicking 9 goals. Put him on the bench. He hates football. And I'll tell you why he did it. And I've got to.
You've written notes. You've got notes again.
Yeah, I've got a reason why.
Oh, yeah.
It's because he choked in 1990 from kicking 100 goals in a season.
I wouldn't quite go down that.
No, he choked. And he's been bitter ever since. And he wasn't going to let any other spearhead share in the glory of kicking 10 because he was getting the flashbacks to that game in 1990 where he kicked 2 goals 8 to try and kick the ton. That's the villain story. He was in the bench. He was in the coach's box thinking, oh, Marty's on 9. Takes me back to when I was a spearhead.
You can
forward.
Rest assured and, that did not happen.
Coaches hate football.
There is no chance of
that. No. That's why he does. He hates it. He says he was protecting Joel Amati from potentially injury. He was protecting himself. He was denying the football public a 10-goal haul. His teammates getting around him. I wouldn't want John Longmire as my wingman because that was a cock block. That was a cock block on the field.
Well, hang on.
I thought I was going to be in trouble for saying that Brownie should have had more than Pav, but you've gone a different angle and probably blown that away. You wouldn't want to run into Horse, I wouldn't have thought.
I reckon Horse probably wanted to drag Buddy off when he was on 999 goals. That's the kind of sense of occasion Horse had.
You're on an island here.
You by yourself on Castaway.
Well, you want me to have a popular opinion or an unpopular opinion? I think it goes back to him just not being able to kick 100 in a season.
Well, I tend to disagree. I'll go with...
What are you going then, Rocky?
Well, Marty kicked 9 and he got benched. What a party pooper.
I'm not saying that he should have came off, but what you're aligning that
I think it goes back to that.
There is a more experienced full forward would forget that it's his rotation to go off the ground. It's fair to
Let's
say.
Let's just say if you but kick 9 in a match and the runner's like, come off, Lynchy,
I'd
what
be
would
staggered.
You say?
Yeah, I would have probably jogged off with my hand up in the air, very happy with myself.
Waving to the crowd.
You wouldn't have stuck around for 10. 3 minutes to go in the game.
If it was my rotation, I reckon I'd be pretty content.
Bullshit. Bullshit. Let's put it in Tom's talk. Let's say you're on possession 49 and you get benched and you want to crack the 50.
Well, would goals is different because you can count them in your head. I know that it's up on the scoreboard possessions,
come on.
Rotation. Nah. If you've got the game sewn up, the game's about premierships.
I'm adding a lot of mayonnaise to this John Longmire theory, but I just thought I'd have a bit of fun.
So you're not doing the Swans game next week like I am?
No, I'm not going to Swans games anytime. I'm not welcome at many Swans games after my best of 3 grand finals rant because they lost their past 3 grand finals. Come on, Horse. We can bring it up.
My unpopular, probably popular opinion is the Bond is the best player in the comp, and it has been for 5 or 6 years.
Apparently
in my
opinion,
he didn't train all week and comes out and has 30-3 and consistently does it and consistently
been benched by Longmire.
I think he's been second in the Brownlow 3 times maybe, but he's...
Yeah, third in the coaches' votes now. So he's picked up maximum votes. So Heaney's still ahead of Dacos, I think.
Yeah.
But we'll put it... for a friend, answer the question, if a friend was starting a new footy team next year...
a friend?
If you knew someone that was starting a new footy team, but it was next year...
Maybe the Devils.
Who would be the one player... Who would be the player in the league that you'd pick?
Who is this friend you're speaking of?
I don't know. Just a
new AFL franchise.
In the schoolyard.
For next year, because 2028 is very different for the Devils. But for next year, and you can grab one player in the league, who do you pick?
Bond. I would pick Bond. His leadership, I think he's probably the best captain in the competition. His ability to hit the scoreboard plus influence the game in those big moments, I think it's Bond.
You'd think Dusty? Still?
No, I think not what in...
For next year.
If the year was for the year 2018, I would have picked Dustin Martin, but like in general, from a general football perspective.
From now?
Yeah, for next year. Who would you think?
To have an instant impact.
Yeah.
Not for...
And
No. I
you're doing everything.
I understand the hypothetical you're giving. I'm talking about Nick Daicos.
And you're setting, I suppose you're building a culture as well. You got a lead.
I'd go Nick Daicos at the moment. He we got everything and then some from him yesterday in particular.
He's pretty handy.
He was pretty bloody handy. And he
doesn't think
you're
gonna
what were you saying off air? You said he was umpired differently.
I was about to say that. Plus, you'd get the benefit of the good player tax that umpires give him. So you'd want that on your side because you'd actually get some good umpiring favouring you.
So a good call, I reckon, yes.
So that's consistent with what I said.
You said a few other things, but we can't put them on air.
We've got a few things.
That's exactly what I said.
Speaking of the weekend and good players, did you keep the duffel coat on for the entire game?
I did. I stuck around it. Look,
surprising.
You would have been swinging the duffel coat above your head in the first quarter
first
when Dusty's just
wonderful. I've got
fantastic.
To say, for the occasion that it was, result aside, it was an outstanding day.
Did the result matter at all?
No. It was a celebration of Dustin. It wasn't about the result.
And you were saying off air you thought he's going to retire as well. He's not coming back.
I did not say that. I think far too many people are barracking for that story.
You'd drop to your knees when he announces his retirement, won't you? You'd be devastated.
Would be devastated. But if it turns out I saw his last game to kick the goal and it was a celebration of a legend, then so be it.
Yeah, fair enough too.
But I think it just goes to show how much he means to the Richmond faithful and how much of a football star he is and how grateful the Richmond faithful was because, there was probably a few people that haven't been to a Tigers game this year.
And to the league. And I know even like how he's dominated those grand finals, the Norm Smiths. I was voting for one of those one day, I think his first Norm Smith.
Yeah.
And he, and you're thinking, you're trying to, because what you want to do when you're given the votes, you don't want to slaughter it.
Yeah.
You don't want to really stuff it. You want to be thereabouts. And then he'd ripped the game apart, but then he just stamped it halfway through the last quarter as well. And I go, thank God for that. Lee Martin, he's in.
Yeah, my initial thought with 17 was Hawley should have got it. But the more I've watched the 17 grand final, I've watched it a few times, is definitely Dusty.
That was Pickett's one as well?
No, Pickett was 19.
No, so I did 19.
Oh, you did 19.
So
yeah.
I think I was.
No, Dusty had
Martin.
That. Yeah.
All right, Rewalt and I can't remember who else.
Pickett for a debut in a grand final was pretty amazing that day too.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was a really special day. Richmond did it so well.
I would hate to see the tissues next to the couch when he's watching the 17, 19, 20 grand finals. For your eyes.
Yeah. No, I understand. What else? What did you think I'd be thinking about there, Tom? Watch the 2020 prelim as well. That's pretty good. Dustin was pretty good in that as well. If we want to go down that path.
No, we might move off that path.
But it was a fantastic day. And I think sometimes it's just great to just celebrate the champions and get a, like, okay, it's not a win, but it's still a great occasion no matter what. And,
incredible.
Full credit to Hawthorn, they're outstanding at the moment.
And
they are one of the most informed teams in the competition.
Oh, they are. Yeah. But, last one on Richmond. For the crowd to get there and appreciate one of the greats. 90-odd thousand, that's fantastic.
92,000.
Yeah. He spoke, we never hear from him. So he spoke well, but all he wanted to speak about was the faithful and how much
and
he
the
loved
team.
Them. That's all he wanted to talk about.
Which
his
was
family.
Great.
That's all
him.
He wanted. Yeah, that's
it. It was almost classic Dusty, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So respectful.
Yeah.
Didn't want to talk about himself.
No.
And actually wasn't really answering Jack's questions.
No.
He was getting probed.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He just kept going back to the...
Yeah. Yep. Back to the team.
Love
the club.
I love this team. Club, These are my mates.
Beautifully done.
It was great. It was a lovely occasion. Shame it wasn't a win, but I think football was the winner on the day.
It absolutely was.
In the classics. You know what else is the winner on the day? Well, hopefully this week is
not.
The winner.
It wouldn't have been a multi.
It's not the multi, but it's the learning that you get and the experience. It's the friends you make along the way, and that's when Ryan Cook dials in to chat with Tom on the snapshot, which is right now.
All the betting trends you need to know from the world of footy. This is The Snapshot.
It's time to get into the betting with Tommy Rockcliffe. We're not going too well at the moment. We won't talk about that just yet. Rocky, I want to talk some golf, mate, because we're recording this on Monday. We've just watched Bryson DeChambeau in the US Open. I believe you met the great man a few weeks ago in Adelaide. How was he?
Yeah, outstanding. That was the night I claimed to have built the foundations at Port Adelaide. So we're in great form. He was a champion. He sat for a couple of hours just chatting about footy and life and sport. And I think he's probably one of the most humble champions going around. He was outstanding. And old dummy spitter Rory McIlroy out of there. He was gone before I think Bryson had got off the green. So, couldn't have gone to a better person, and a massive win for him.
Great finish between two guys that have been quite inconsistent over the last couple of years. But enough about the golf. Let's get into the footy. Only six games to choose from again this week, another short round. And there are a handful of teams that are on the bye this week, my Hawks being one of them, Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs. Pretty simple question for you, mate. Who do you think benefits the most from a week off?
Yeah, good question. I think just looking at it as a whole, it probably has to be Collingwood, just with their injuries and whatnot at the moment. I think it'll be a good freshen up time for them to get those players right, have a week off, get back into it. Again, it'll be good for Hawthorn though as well. The young team, they've won six or seven of the last eight, and they're just on the right path at the moment. So it allows them to freshen up as well. They get West Coast out of the bye, which you'd imagine they'd probably get done. Pending how West Coast, you just don't know what you're going to get with West Coast. They're certainly a better team at home than away, but you'd imagine Hawthorn will win that. And the Dogs, well, the Dogs are just so inconsistent. They have been for a number of years now, but the Bont, he doesn't train all week and comes out and gets three Brownlow votes. Wouldn't be surprised if he polls six. He's had 30 and kicked three. He just dominates, doesn't he? Best player in the competition. The flu game, well, he's normally a lock for our multis, isn't he? For me, for 2+ or 25+, but he's a champion of the game.
Let's talk Collingwood really quick, because Sunday's game against North Melbourne, absolute classic for all the wrong reasons. The forward line's struggling. They're struggling down back. They're allowing a lot of inside 50 entries. And it's become pretty clear that when they can't score off turnover, they're a different side. Are they a genuine top
14, do you think? It's hard to get a gauge on them. Like, they've fallen in against North Melbourne, who are probably the worst team that we've seen since 2000. So it's hard to get a gauge, to fall in the way they did. They've got injuries, which I think you can give them a bit of a pass for, and they sit third on the ladder. So it's hard to knock them too much, but I'm not sure they are a top 14, but I'm not sure there is anyone in the competition that's a top 14 besides Sydney. You look at around them, Essendon, I'm not sold on them. The Giants, Geelong, Port Adelaide, Fremantle, Western Bulldogs, Gold Coast, Melbourne, Hawthorn, Brisbane. I don't think any of them are genuine top four teams this season for various reasons, but all they can do is continue to win games of footy, and that's what they do. Collingwood, they probably didn't deserve to win that. I've never seen probably a worse umpiring decision. How that wasn't 50. That got paid 2 weeks ago on the Gold Coast, where the player feigned to go, and all, pretty much did, and still got a 50-metre penalty. You had two guys run five metres past the mark and not get a 50-metre penalty, but that's a different topic altogether. That they fell in against one of the worst teams I've seen in the competition, so I'm not sold on Collingwood.
You love to give the umpires a good clip. You never miss an opportunity. It does explain the value on offer, though, in the market. So you can still take $2.25 for the Western Bulldogs to make the eight, $3.50 for my Hawks to make the eight as well. So a lot of good odds still available on the Neds betting front. Let's get to the Tom Rockliffe Cup. Brizzy takes on Port Adelaide on Saturday afternoon this week. Lions are genuinely looking like a dark horse right now, coming off two pretty impressive wins. They're kicking goals finally. Port Adelaide, on the other hand, trending in the other direction. Another pretty woeful day against GWS on Sunday in front of the sticks. Can't kick straight. We saw these two sides meet last year in the qualifying final. Brisbane won that, I think, by about 48 points. Joe Danaher, 5 goals that day at the Gabba. Are we going to see a similar story unfold here, do you think?
Potentially. I think Brisbane are coming in with a better form. There's no doubting that. Port Adelaide, they've lost to the Giants, who, again, they're in sort of no man's land. We don't know what to make of them at the moment. They're hot and cold in games. But Port Adelaide will be disappointed with that performance on Sunday afternoon. Short turnaround, 6-day break. Brisbane, the other way, they've got an 8-day break. Whether that plays into Brisbane's favour, I think it potentially does. Home ground advantage, though, for Port Adelaide. So it should be a good game. Seeing Charlie Dixon, he got 3 weeks in the sample today as well, so he won't be out there. So it makes that forward line, how is it going to function? Again, you said Port Adelaide so inaccurate in front of goal. Mentioned it a couple of times, frustrating team to support and follow because they do so many good things and they just let themselves down with their inside 50 entries or their shots are coming from really poor positions. So it's going to be a great challenge for them to get up and about for this game. Brisbane Lions, they're good patches are as good as anyone in the competition. Does a Willem Drew try and shut Lachie Neal completely out of the contest? We've seen him, Win Hagen, go to him and have a decent impact. The good thing about Brisbane on the weekend was they had their one wood taken away from them, which is stoppages. They dominate stoppages, normally score from them as well. They got beaten up badly by St Kilda around those stoppages, but they found a way to be comfortably in front. St Kilda came at them. Concerning thing, though, for Brisbane is that they're getting opened up defensively. So if Port Adelaide can get their ball movement going on Saturday afternoon on their home deck, they potentially kick a good score against the Brisbane Lions. But I wouldn't be going near that game if I was a punter out there. I couldn't lead you in one way or the other.
It is a tough one, and it's interesting you talk about the stoppages there, because St Kilda actually won the midfield battle mainly because they chose to tag Lachie Neal. Do you think Ken Hinckley's going to do that?
I think so. I think Willem Drew, he's certainly tried to do it in the past. Cam Sutcliffe and different guys have gone to Lachie Neal. He's so hard to stop, but I think Willem Drew probably gets a job. If not him, who else do you go after? I think it just has to be him. I think Lachie Neal's he's the Brisbane Lions barometer around the footy. He's so clean and one touch, and his ability to find people in space is what sets him apart. So I think he's the one that they will go after, and I think he'll have some pretty close attention.
Some good insight there from you, mate. Should be a very good game on Saturday afternoon.
Ryan and Rocky are cooking up another multi. Surely it gets up this week.
Let's get into the multi. We'll recap last week. Unfortunately, I got us off to an absolute stinker. Back in the Lions, the cover against St Kilda, a little bit stiff. Line was about 27.5. I think they won by 22 or something like that in the end. I also had Port Adelaide to cover against GWS on Sunday. No good there. You took Will Hoskin-Elliott 2+ goals. I think he only had the one. And then you had Dan Houston 25+. That was a big win for you because he finished with 35. So well done.
Yeah, so what, we got 1 from 4. So we're going well. We're in form.
Yeah. All right, this week we're going – let me find the multi because I've got the wrong screenshot in front of me.
I think you're going.
We're going Carlton head-to-head. I'm taking the Blues to beat Geelong. On Friday night, I just think Carlton coming off a couple of very impressive wins, they're getting $1.60 for them. We just need a win, so a little bit of value there to get us started. And then I've also gone the Swans 1-39 in the second Battle of the Bridge game. Both those sides, GWS and Sydney, started pretty slow last week, so I think the Giants could keep this interesting in the first quarter, like the 1-39 play instead of the line. You'll go on player markets again, Rocky?
Yeah, I'll stick to the player markets. I like this one. I think Zach Merritt against West Coast Eagles, 30+. He'll probably get the most attention, but I think he'll get off the chain. At home there, and another one that I like as well, Lukosius, 2+ goals. So depending on his matchup, I think King sent a bit of an injury scare through the Gold Coast Suns with a bit of a knee jar at training over the weekend. So Lukosius is going to have to kick a decent score if there are any chance, and I think he'll get two.
I think we've had Lukosius before in our multi, and he's been good to us. To recap, we've got Carlton head-to-head against Geelong Friday night. I've gone Sydney 1-39 against the Giants. You have Zach Merritt, 30-plus disposals against West Coast, and Jack Lukosius, 2+ goals. $13.05 for that one. She'll be available in the special section of the Neds app.
Let's have another 4 ticks, eh?
Let's hope so, Rocky. Thanks again, mate.
Good on you, Ron.
306 games, 2 clubs, 3 flags, countless stories. It's time for Lynchy's Locker Room.
You are indeed listening to Ned's AFL Unpopular Opinions. Dylan Leach, Alistair Lynch are back. Tom, you've never gone anywhere. That was an outstanding
swap
snapshot.
Sides. I sat in Lynchy's seat for a minute and thought, oh, it's a bit He's got the curves, 80-year-old curves. So yeah.
79, my friend.
The ergonomics that is required for his hips and everything.
His watch, age is so gone up.
For those
couple of weeks ago, what, 72?
Home, yeah, Lynchy's got a fitness app.
Yeah,
and it gives him his expected fitness age, and it keeps going up every week. What age?
Well, I think
are you
it was
at
2 or 3 weeks ago. And I went on.
What is the fitness app you use?
Oh, it's a Garmin product for big Garmin watch. Okay. And look. It's I'm aware. No.
I don't think he'll be getting about to say.
No, they. So 3 weeks ago, I had a look at my fitness age, and I remember you're in the bottom 20% for your age and gender. Mm-hmm. Now I'm turned 56 this week, getting on.
When's your birthday?
Wednesday.
Oh, happy birthday for Wednesday, Lynch. So,
but old Garmin, that sent me a birthday wish that I didn't like.
Yeah, what are you?
So it was you're in the bottom 20% of your age and gender. Your fitness age is 73. And I thought that was harsh.
That's a bit harsh.
And I've kept you guys up to date over the last couple of weeks. But then just before we come on air, I thought, like, I'll check this. Your fitness age. No, I'm now in the bottom 10%.
Going backwards.
What are you doing
rapidly
with yourself?
Oh, go to the gym every second day. You're in the bottom 10% of your age and gender. Your fitness age is 79. Now, in all seriousness, this might be very good app because I have gone to my doctor and I'm getting some blood tests because maybe this app knows something that I don't. Mm. So we'll keep you updated. I'll let you know. Hopefully it's good news next week.
We'll get the health check. Hey, this week, it's still bye round in footy, but it is Tom Rockliffe Cup Day, as they were talking about in the snapshot, the Port versus the Brisbane Lions.
And someone who built the foundations for the Port Adelaide Footy Club.
He built the foundations at Port Adelaide. Yeah. He only played about 150-odd games at Brisbane prior to building Port Adelaide's foundations. But
I won three flags. I came along, ruined them at Brisbane, then they went back to finals.
Yeah, so that's it. So he destroyed the foundations at the Gabba and then rebuilt the foundations at Port Adelaide.
Laid the foundations
Exactly.
Together.
But
Rockliffe Cup.
I'm looking forward to this game. It's an intriguing game.
It is.
Port versus the Lions. But what it got me thinking about, Lynchy, because Port Adelaide, and by the way, it's great to see Port Adelaide respecting their heritage this week and wearing the traditional Port jumper. Of course, the 2004 one.
Yes.
Port Adelaide's foundation jumper.
Oh, I don't.
The jumper that the jumper that is Port Adelaide's true heritage, the one that they should still be playing in. From their establishment year in 1997.
Well, the AFL that only jumper started in the 90s, so Richmond's only got three flags.
Still more than Port Adelaide. moving right along. But what it got me thinking is because Port are obviously celebrating 20 years since their 2004 premiership, and yes, we know about Lynchy and blah, blah, blah. But
what happened with Lynchy?
We've spoken about this on this show before. No one remembers your last game, and no one can recall what happened in Lynchy's last game.
No, that's right. I get flat when they say you're only as good as your last game. dash, free kick away.
Well, so then you could apply the same for Don Bradman.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, true.
I'm not quite sure I'm going to put myself in that class, but yes.
But
get to your point. What are you going on
well,
about?
Well, you got me thinking that back in the day, 20 years ago, aside from the grand final, Port Adelaide and Brisbane had a proper rivalry.
Yeah.
And I think it gets forgotten that Port and the Lions were right amongst it back in the early 2000s because obviously Port had, choked it. They had a reputation for choking in finals and missed some opportunities. But at the time, I reckon Port Adelaide was the contender to Brisbane more than Collingwood was. I know you played Collingwood in a couple of grand finals, but the contests between Port and Brisbane back in the day, they were epic and highly sought after.
And I think Collingwood was around the mark playing two grand finals. Mm. Essendon, 2000 premiership, probably should have won or thereabouts in 99. They got knocked out of the prelim by Carlton.
Yes.
But Port Adelaide finished in 1, 2, 3, 4. They were third in one, end of the home and away season, then finished first. Mm. And so only picked up the one flag.
And Brisbane actually never finished first.
No. I think we were third and maybe second a couple of times. Maybe third twice and second twice, something like that. But you think through that era, there were some really strong clubs. And I think you think you know, Essendon's got one flag, Port's got one flag, and we've got the three. We made the most of our opportunities, no doubt about that. And yeah, you'd think coming out of it, and again, not disrespecting Collingwood, but those that have won premierships, you reflect back on that era and say maybe it's Essendon that have got two, Port got two, and we had two. But yeah, we made the most of an opportunity against those teams. But Port Adelaide were bloody good. They had some big wins against us, and it all come from when they came into the competition. What was that, 97?
97.
Yep. Yeah. So 97, they come on into the comp. Brisbane didn't win their first game against Port Adelaide until the fourth game. The first one, I think, was a 2 or 3 point margin to Port, and then the next two were draws. Right. Amazing how close these games were for quite a while, and then went into that era, that golden era for both clubs, where we were able to win flags, but at the top of the ladder.
A bit like Sydney and West Coast for post that.
Yeah. Mm.
So they always had those games.
Yeah, they did for a long time. Yeah.
It's sort of like we eventually did get the Port and Brisbane grand final, but that was coming for a few years. Everyone predicted that 2002 should have been Port and Brisbane, 2003 should have been Port and Brisbane. Like, Port were always amongst it.
Yeah, Port were always amongst it. Collingwood there up there for a couple of years. Mm. And Essendon, well, that Essendon team in 99, 2000, 2001, geez, they were a strong side.
Yeah.
With, you know, Lloyd and Lucas and Hurd and the Johnsons through the middle of the ground, down back with Dustin Fletcher, Hall of Famer. You know, they were a great side as well. But then, yeah, Port Adelaide were a team that their best was extreme. Absolutely extreme. And, you know, their worst was probably just a bit below ours. And so we managed to have some good finals against them. I think the finals record, I think we won about three finals and they won one or something like that. But, yeah, we had a good record in finals against them.
Do you look back now, because there was heaps of chat about it and there's still Acker still swears by it. Do you look back 20 years on and think that you were robbed of the fourth one? By having to travel? Do you think it had that big of an impact on you?
Because
you did limp in.
Yeah, we did limp in, and a couple of us got injured pretty early in the game. But, yeah, I mean, things went against us as far as the fixturing is. So to get three premierships from four grand finals, couldn't be happier. And in that cohort, we're very lucky. We were a bloody good team in a bunch of very good teams. That time, the AFL, and I think it was around, I think it all stemmed back to porridge rights at the Gabba, where I think the AFL, with the Brisbane Lions, went against the AFL's major sponsor. And I think that was Coke, and we've gone Schweppes, or the other way around. Mm. And I think, yeah, relationships were stressed through that period. I think if the AFL wanted to, even with the MCG agreement, if the AFL wanted to, we could have played here. It was our home game. But
we're talking, of course, the 2004 prelim against Geelong.
Which was our prelim.
So it was your home prelim against Geelong at the MCG.
Yeah, but because of the agreement, there had to be to be a game at the MCG.
Correct. Yeah, there used to be an agreement the MCG had to host a final every week.
Yeah, and again, saying that, Port Adelaide were a bloody good side and they played bloody well that day. Everything didn't go our way and on the field, but no, they absolutely deserve that win. Yeah, we could have had a better run in. Don't know whether it may make the difference or not, but the relationship with the AFL at the time was tested.
Indeed.
Testy.
Testy. Tom, obviously you've got a foot in both camps, but when you talk to the Port Adelaide people from that era when you were around at Port, does the Warren Treadrays or the Dom Cassisis or the Matty Primuses of the world, I mean, obviously the 2004 premiership's magnificent and, you know, they're celebrating this week and so they should. Is there a feeling at Port Adelaide that team underachieved?
Probably. I think that they know that how much pressure they had on them, and I think winning a grand final is as hard as anyone. Lynchy knows how hard they are to win. Like, Chad Corns is the one there that's probably I had the most to do with. He's an assistant coach there, and you speak to him, and they probably felt like they may or should have probably won maybe two. So they would feel like, I think they underachieved a little bit through that period. But as Lynchy said, they were great teams.
Jeez,
like across
teams,
the board.
Yeah.
Like, you've got not only Brisbane, but you also had Collingwood, Essendon, and then shortly after Sydney, West Coast. Like, you think
and then,
West
and
Coast
then the
team.
Geelong era.
And then
began.
Geelong. So
yeah.
And then they got to another grand final in 2007, blown away. And
apparently they played that day. They didn't do much.
No, but like they, yeah, so they were thereabouts. And because they finished first, you would expect to play probably more grand finals.
Mm. And like all teams had their issues. I think in the first, in 2001 grand final, Hurdy's gone in injured. So he struggled with injury. Against Collingwood, Rocker got suspended for one of the games. I reckon there was another big out. But
Jason Cloke, I think, also got suspended from the prelim as well.
Did he miss one? Yeah. So,
I think so, yep.
Rocker missed one as well, because I remember they moved Jason Cloke from half back. They moved him forward for that grand final. And, yeah, there was ups and downs. So, we could have had the prelim final up here, but we're pretty happy with three.
Three premierships.
Pretty happy with three. And
being remembered as one of the best teams to ever play is a great legacy.
And almost with Port having that ability to be so up. Yeah. You know, Byron Pickett, I think, was Norm Smith medal.
Yeah, he was.
Just flogged us. I mean, he played extremely well. He was hard and, you know, he had one of his really good games and deserved the medal, and they deserved the flag.
For a 1990s baby, I was born in 1990, Lynchy's slightly older than you or me, that was the peak for me still. Looking back, that was the absolute, like, golden years of AFL footy for me. As a kid growing up, I was sort of...
Well, you and I are the same age.
10 to 15. It was like the Brisbane Lions. They're just that the way it was played, the AFL, there was still limited rotations. It was like...
Yeah, I think our rotations were 25 or 20 in our grand finals.
Pre-social media, where it's not, you're not flooded with... like you still had to go to your local footy, then you'd watch a replay at night or get the scores. It was peak AFL for me.
That was a very good era. So that was good. Good. All right.
So do you present the medal after the game to the Tom Rockcliffe medalist?
Only up here.
Hang on. Is it the cup or the medal?
Probably both. Oh, so it should be both.
So you get both.
Both.
So there's no like the Tom Rockcliffe cup and the Matty Primus medal or something like that?
Well, yeah, or Choco Williams. There's Choco a few Williams. Of us. Tommy Logan.
Yeah, Tom Logan trophy.
Jared Pollock.
The Jared Pollock certificate.
Logs could maybe do the after party, take everyone in.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. It's all named after
Who do you want to win out of the two?
Good question.
Who do you barrack for?
Well, both. That's the easy answer. But slightly Port Adelaide because I know more people there. And that's like relationship wise is you want them to do well. You know what it's like to play footy, how hard it is. And I've still got great relationships.
And you built the foundations there.
I've got great relationships at Brisbane, but I don't know as many people there.
You've had a good spell recently because you went into the rooms for that day in Port and said,
dagging around the players.
And then you're giving Brucey the 38s back at Brisbane and you go, Bruce.
Yes.
He's 38.
Yes. So both.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Porter up here in a couple of weeks as well. So catch up with him.
Bit of functions there.
My boys are actually going to run out with them.
Oh,
so
there you go.
That's good. That's exciting. That is good.
Down the Goldie.
So your boys are going to... Oh, so against the Suns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say Port Bruce. No, that makes more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. One boy with each team.
Yeah, I was about to say,
this weekend.
Just stand in the middle. Toss a coin.
All right. Time to wrap up now on Ned's AFL and Popular Opinions.
You're listening to Ned's AFL Unpopular Opinions.
Time to wrap up here on Ned's AFL Unpopular Opinions. Round 15, can you believe it? Already round 15, we're very much in the thick of it of season 2024. And it's been a pretty fun season. You know what? It's been a bloody fun season of football.
Great season. I reckon there's enough themed games most weeks, big games, whether it be Dusty's 300th or Dreamtime.
Tom Rockcliffe Cup.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Or the show the vision of you in your last game. They're not going to show that this weekend. That won't
Nah,
they won't show that.
Who's old mate that did that at the Adelaide Oval?
Cash for that? Surely you've still got rights. The PA fund that comes in
You need to get a trademark. He needs to get himself a Leo Barry type deal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the ironic thing was... Right. I got fined, what was it, 15 grand.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of freight out of the pocket when you haven't got a job.
Was that a fun conversation to have with Mrs. Lynch saying, I've been fined 15 grand.
And I haven't got a job.
Under Dills Labor, that'd be about 50 grand in 2024 turns. Bloody oath.
So I've had that. So I was disappointed with that. But the next year.
Inflation.
The next year, I went and did a couple of sporties for the AFL in grand final week. But which, so you get a bit of.
Do-re, mate.
Yeah, send an invoice for those.
Yeah.
The disappointing thing is when I walk out on stage, the AFL show that. You hang on. You're finding me for it. Now you're using it in a marketing campaign.
Clip me.
Dearie me. Okay. What are we looking forward to this weekend? I'm going to revisit what you said earlier.
Absolutely. North Melbourne, Melbourne. Cracking game. The game I've got with Fox Footy should be another really good one as well.
Oh, yeah. And also,
GWS Sydney.
It's a good round.
And also, it would be worth. Checking out the GWS socials this week because they do a very funny job trolling the Swans. North Melbourne, $5.40 against Melbourne, if you don't mind, head-to-head. 33.5 line. Tempting?
Tempting.
Not that you can be tempted. You stay the way out of that.
Give no opinion.
We never had this conversation. Tom, what are you looking forward to? Outside of the Tom Rockcliffe Cup.
We'll leave that one. Oh, I think Friday night, Carlton, see if they're the real deal and see where Geelong are at. I think we'll learn a fair bit about that game.
Carlton will romp it in.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think Carlton will win that, and we did say that in our multi. But what are you looking forward to, Dylan?
Oh, just hope football. Richmond's got the weekend off, but that means it's more time to enjoy the actual games of football. I reckon Freo and the Gold Coast could be an intriguing game.
I think they're all good games.
They're actually, literally there is something very interesting about every... Essendon and West Coast... Is Harley back in this week?
He's not, remember West Coast almost beat Essendon over. I know
they did.
That was
very recent too.
Only a month ago.
Now, I reckon Freo and the Suns could be an intriguing game because Freo inconsistent. They proved that again last week, and the Suns off a bye.
Have to wear their home strip. Just go against the AFL guidelines and wear your home strip. They haven't won.
No white shorts. No white shorts.
Haven't won a game with the white shorts on yet.
King went down as well on the weekend, so not sure whether he'll get up. Previous weekend at training, they thought it may be ACL. Yeah. So I imagine if he got sent for scans, bone bruising, he might not get up.
Yeah, only the six games, but the good thing is they're all spread out. There's nothing overlapping. You can just strap yourself in from Friday to Sunday. And by the way, I know there's no Thursday night footy, but that gig guide last week, people loved it. People love watching grand designs on the ABC or the rugby league. Your Sharkies are...
How'd the Sharkies go?
I lost.
No, did they?
Fins up, mate.
Yeah. ET's over the hill, I reckon.
Anyway, time to wrap up here on Ned's
Multi.
Before we do that, always...
You're just morphing more into this hosting gig.
You might actually need to fill in for a couple of weeks. We'll bring that up later. What is the multi this week?
Carlton head-to-head against Geelong. Sydney to win 1-39. Zach Merritt 30+ against West Coast and Lukosius 2+ against Fremantle.
Sharkies have the bye this weekend.
Do they?
Multi that up and you get $13.05.
That's available in the Ned's AFL section of the app and in the AFL Open Group. Thank you, Lynchy.
Thank you, Dylan. Rocky.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Rich, on the buttons. Thanks to Ryan. Thanks to the listeners. Just thanks for being with us in general.
And just
an overall thank you.
Richard, just a note, that stuff in the ad break, just might torch that if you can, just as a little heads up. Just
it
in
might
case.
Be an uncut version
Boys,
coming up at the end of the year.
This is a fair
It won't
show.
Be approved.
And on that note, we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to Ned's AFL Unpopular Opinions. Enjoyed the podcasts? Remember to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.